Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, episode 39. And it's December already? No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast, episode 39, recorded on December the 2nd, 2015, brought to you by the Happy Hour Network and RayRay.net. I am your sexy party host, Ray Moraldi, also known as Ray Ray. I'm just going through a headache right now, and I really don't want to go through the whole spiel of like, oh, this was a basketball podcast to begin with, but it's no longer because I just want to talk about other things too. Although, since I'm an NBA blogger, there will always be some NBA talk, just like later on today when we talk to Robert Littell of Black Sports Online later on in this podcast. And there are also other sections in this podcast, such as like the Gal Pal Squad and Kicking It Old School with Ray Ray and EJ. See, I just went through the whole spiel, so I'm not going to delay this any further. Let's go ahead and kick it old school with EJ.
Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ, and I'm here with EJ Christian once again. What's up?
It feels like forever, Ray, since we've done this segment.
It has been, yeah. I've been actually a bit inconsistent on this podcast, but here we are back, month of December. Wow, it's gone by.
Sounds
really
like
fast.
A you problem.
Yeah, it really is. But end of the year, coming up on this first anniversary of this podcast, actually. It started first week of January, actually. So, so here we are, December 2nd, and December 2nd is, okay, first off, personally, it's the anniversary of my basketball website, The No Look Pass, so it's 7 years old today.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. And this may or may not be a coincidence, but it is also the birthday of Britney Spears. And we're going to talk about her right now in this segment.
It's Britney, bitch.
Exactly. Yeah, so I don't know how much you know about Britney, because we talked about Debbie, we talked about Tiffany in the past, Michael Jackson, all that stuff. But we never really did talk about Britney Spears. I don't know how, because we're both kind of old souls where we're much more about like the early, you know, 80s, 90s. Right. And Britney came out like around 1999. I was 21 years old at the time when she came out. So what are your thoughts about Britney Spears?
But at this point now, like, you say we're old souls, but it's been 16 years since Britney Spears came out. So at this rate, she's only 9 years away from being eligible for a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame award. You know,
yeah,
so, I mean, exactly. I would say Britney Spears is a little bit on the older side in terms of, she's not a newbie anymore, by all means. She has at least 5 albums out already. I would dare to say now at 35. Look, I still keep my ear on the pulse with what's going on in the music and pop culture. This does not sound stupid. This would be in the know for the most part. Britney's been a name that's still very common. You know, I mean, she's not the most popular, you know, entertainer in the world right now, but she's still just the name Britney. You know, it's at a point now where she is at a point of, okay, you see Britney Spears and she sells. She's still a seller. So
yeah,
I like her.
She's turned 33 today. Wow.
Unbelievable, man. I remember when I remember 99, when the drop, you know, Hit Me Baby One More Time came out, and that whole era, you know, with Jessica Simpson and Christina Aguilera, and you had all that, and the boy bands, that 99 era, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Britney, I was always questionable, you know, would she be somebody that would be relevant in 5 years, in 10 years? We're now 16 years later, and she's still relevant. So, I mean, you got to give her credit for maintaining a very, very great career, to be totally honest.
She's pretty much spent her entire adult life, well, maybe really her whole life as an entertainer for the Mickey Mouse Club, and, of course, her big debut, Baby One More Time. That was just a big hullabaloo when she was 17 when she did Baby One More Time, and then she posed a risque cover on Rolling Stone with her, you know, like looking all sexy at 17 years old. You know?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I remember I saw that video. I was 19. I was like, wow, this is really, you know, I guess at the time was a little more provocative. But it's funny, like, she's somebody I really liked a lot more as I've gotten older, which is weird because, like, she's become more likable. Like, I think with a lot of the two with her was through the years, you know, when Britney came out, she seemed very fake, and not just in the image, but also just in the way her look, like a Barbie doll almost in a sense. And as she's gotten older, she's really become a lot more of somebody that's attainable, somebody that actually looks more like you and I, or, you know, somebody that's a regular person. And I kind of appreciate that in a lot of ways.
Yeah, she seems so untouchable back in, like, 99, 2000, 2001, whatever. And then there's that fall from grace around 2006, 2007, where...
Yeah, the haircut.
She shaved her head. Do you think she was going to come back from that? Because a lot of people didn't think she would.
Yeah, I thought she would. Because uh-huh. I just think that, you know, whatever she's going through, if you work through it, I mean, I don't know her personally, so I can't really speak on terms of, like, you know, it was definitive, but I thought... You know, all you gotta do is get your mind right, and if you are passionate about the art, ultimately that will overcome all. And she has still maintained a very solid career even after the meltdown in 06, 07. And really, to be honest with you, I mean, say what you want about Britney, whether you like her or not, whether you think her music sucks or not, she has maintained, you know, something pretty solid here. I mean, something you have to respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People have accused her of not being a great singer, although I've heard her sing, like, other songs, and, you know, she's actually not a really bad singer. It's just that she's manufactured just to be, you know, a singer slash dancer slash entertainer, basically. Like, she didn't have to be a great singer to be this popular, right?
Well, I mean, whether or not we think she's a great singer, I mean, that's all in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, that's all perception. I mean, if you're not really a pop music fan, you're not really going to care about that kind of thing, to be honest with you. So,
uh-huh.
I mean,
right.
That's pretty much a perception thing. That's all about a personal preference thing. Look, I think she's good at what she does. I think she's, I wouldn't call her somebody with a vocal prowess. She's not, I mean, she's not Whitney Houston or Aretha Franklin, but she definitely.
Well, yeah.
But within the parameters of her music, she sounds good. It fits what she does, and I think that's all I can ask for is make sure somebody can fit, you know, what she does. I mean, whether or not people agree, disagree with she's a good singer or not, that's all about whether that person actually likes that kind of music to begin with. And to me, that doesn't even matter really if you don't like the music. So who cares what their opinion, unless somebody else likes the music but doesn't think that she's a good singer. I mean, that's just my opinion on that personally.
So what are your favorite songs from Britney?
Womanizer one.
Uh-huh.
Love the video, actually. It's gorgeous. Mostly the video. Song that I like? I like Toxic. I think Toxic is a really good song. I think the some of the elements in that song, that's really, really cool. Pretty edgy. Let me see. There's a couple of songs I do like. I like, you know what's funny? I like a lot of her recent material the last, like, maybe seven, on the back end of the, after the meltdown, to be honest. There's some really good gems there if you really pay attention.
Like Circus, right?
What makes Britney, I think, really, for me, at least for me, enough to pay attention to her more than anything else, is the production of her music is really good. I mean, like, she has good producers, obviously, so that at least hooks me into at least pay attention to what she's doing. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and say I'm a Britney fan in terms of, like, you know, I'm going to buy all her records, but I do pay attention when she comes out with a record. I just want to hear what her sound looks like, what her sound is at the moment, and see where she is at this point in career. So she's had some good hits in the last couple of years. I actually, people may not consider her greatest hits, but I think there's some stuff there that I actually do enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, Baby One More Time is an iconic hit, so it's Oops, I Did It Again. But I actually prefer the simple-sounding Sometimes, her second single.
Oh, God.
it's just a simple, you know, I love you kind of sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I like that song. Yeah, and did you know about her video game, which I actually own?
You own a... Wait. You own a Britney Spears video game?
Yes, I do. It's called Britney Spears Dance Beat for PlayStation 2.
Unbelievable. We do these podcasts together. I learn something new every time. I really do. This is crazy.
It's, yeah, right? How profound. It's actually not a bad game, to be honest. It's a rhythm game. There are the only problem with that game is that there are only five songs on there. But for the most part, it's not a bad game.
What year did it come out?
2002, probably? 2003?
Probably the peak of success, though, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Because I've played some terrible, bad, video games based on other artists. Like, I owned a Spice Girls video game, and that was really bad. But I own it anyway, you know. There's an Instinct video game for Game Boy, which I don't own, but I've played it, and that's terrible as well. But the Britney Spears was, yeah.
You're a pop culture junkie. I thought I was bad, dude. I mean, my nostalgia goes in terms of like remembering things and maybe appreciating things, but you go so far as owning the video games of certain artists that, I mean, Ray Maraldi, man.
To
God
be fair,
you, I am so glad you exist in this existence right now. I'm so glad you exist.
To be fair, I'm kind of a gamer, though, so I know these kinds of things, you know?
Yeah, but the gamers I talk to, who play shooting games, I mean, I wouldn't think they have a Britney Spears, video game in their collection. But, hey, it's Easter own, and you know what? Hey, look, I think it's cool, actually, to be honest with you.
Kind of get a little bit off topic here, but I also own a, I just bought, when I was in Portland, I bought a karaoke rap video game called Hit the Mic. It has like all these classic 90s raps like Notorious B.I.G. and Salt and Pepper and Dr. Dre or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I don't know, I might Instagram it at some point maybe, but
you should do it with the promotion of this podcast probably.
I totally should, yeah. But back to Britney, so where would you rank her amongst the I don't want to say divas, but basically like the best female pop artists of all time. There's Whitney, there's Mariah, there's Janet, there's even Alanis, you know?
I mean, whether you don't like her or whether you like her or don't like her, you know, the impact is there. You have to respect the impact. And we're now, like I said, 16 years into this career, and she's still very relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, she's definitely got to be somebody you consider in the top 20. And then, if I sat down and really did the math, and based on impact, she's got to be at least close to the top 10. She has to be, mm-hmm. just based on impact. Because you go on a list with Madonna, Janet, you know, and Whitney. I mean, there's a lot of great singers there, too, and stuff. But the impact may not be as strong as Britney's was. So you have to – I would definitely say top 15 comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Last thing.
I mean, one day I should do a power rank. You know me, I love ranking things. I'm stupid that way. I should definitely one day do a top 25 greatest female artists, not just singers, just artists of all time, and see where they rank. I mean, Britney would probably have to be in that top 25.
Mm-hmm. Last thing, should she have stayed with Justin Timberlake?
No, because I like her. I like her post Justin because I think we see the real Britney. She's more human now. I mean, she's been that way since 2005, really. I mean, the girl goes to a gas station barefoot, bathrooms barefoot, and she's like one of the biggest like celebrities in the world. I mean, that's like even beyond normal. I mean, that's, to me, I think that's respectable. I mean, you know, it's kind of not sanitary. I think it's still respectable. I mean, I think after the initial shock of her career, I think she wanted to get back to the real, you know, reality. And I respect that. I really do. Like, she's, mm-hmm. to me, she's just more likable now than she was in the first, like, 5 years of his career. Just because of the fact she's more real to me than she was in 1999, 2000.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess I can respect that. So, basically, Britney Spears forever, and if I were you, go on YouTube, check out the Super Bowl performance with her and NSYNC, and that Super Bowl commercial with that Pepsi commercial with Bob Dole at the end. She was at her hottest on those venues, basically. So
hottest era. Wait, real quick, where we go? Hottest era Britney.
Yeah,
I would say 2003, 2004.
I'd go a little younger, 2000, 2001. That's where she was at her hottest.
I'm sorry, woman has a video. Girl. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Britney's hot. That's end of story. All right?
Yeah,
cool.
Right.
Thanks, EJ.
Good job, Ray.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough. Superstar, where you from? How's it going? I know you got
got a clue what you're doing. You can play brand new to all the other chicks out here, but I know what you are, baby. Look at you, getting more than just a re-up. Baby, you got all the puppets with the strings up. Faking like a good one, but I call them like I see them. I know what you are, baby. Womanizer, woman, womanizer, you're a womanizer. Oh, womanizer, oh, you're a womanizer, baby. You, you, you are, you, you, you are. Womanizer, womanizer, womanizer.
Hey guys, it's me again. Just remember this, guys. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, download the show on Stitcher, or on Rareray.net, and you can also find the show at the Happy Hour Network where it is syndicated. You can follow me on Twitter at the No Look Pass, and you can follow this podcast Twitter at RareRayIsFun. Coming up next is a conversation with Robert Littell from Black Sports Online. We're going to talk Kobe Bryant, what's going on in the NBA so far, the Golden State Warriors, Cam Newton, and some wrestling talk. And speaking of wrestling talk, please don't forget to check out my other podcast at TGRWrestling.net with John Canton, where it's just purely wrestling. So check that out, guys. Just remember this, because I'm going to sign off from here. Ray Ray is fundamental, and you'll need a library card to check me out. And if Adam Jacoby was here, he'll say to you, there's no need to be bugging when it's Adam Jacoby you're hugging. Here's Robert Littell. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast Episode 39. This is Ray Ray going solo today, and my guest, an old friend of mine, the big boss of the ever so world famous Black Sports Online, Robert Littell. What's up, my man?
I'm doing great. You're already at episode 39. You're rolling through these now.
Yeah, really. It's like there's just, you know, I haven't done one in 2 weeks, but yeah, for the most part, I've just been rolling through them. Yeah, so yeah. It's been quite a year. It's been quite a season so far in the NBA. We'll get to that, and also the whole thing about like Cam Newton and why everybody's getting mad at him for some reason. We'll get to that as well. But let's start with Kobe. I know everyone's talking about him right now, and he's doing a pretty bad job impersonating a basketball player at this point of his career. So it's really strange what's going on, right? Like I think it's already strange of him to pen a letter to the fans saying he's done. I didn't think he would do that in the first place. I thought he would just disappear in the sunset, you know? He does that, and then he plays against Philadelphia last night, and he gets, you know, all these cheers, standing ovations and everything, and he gets cheered after the game, after the Lakers lose. So is this how it's going to be? The Lakers will lose, and he gets a standing ovation after. That's kind of like a really strange dynamic going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened was, you know, at first, I think he thought that, you know, he didn't want the whole, you know, retirement tour and the rocking chairs and all of that good stuff. But then I think he started to think about it and realized that, you know, if he didn't say anything and he kept playing, you know, badly, you know, just more and more questions would come up about, you know, man, you're playing badly. Are you going to play again? Are you going to retire? You know, what's going on with the Lakers? Are you going to ask for another $25 million or whatever it's going to be? And he just said, you know something? The best way for me to be Kobe and basically jack up shots and not have anybody bother me is to tell people this is the last time that you're going to see me jack up shots, so you better come out and check me out. So I think it was all strategic. I don't think it bothers the Lakers that much, only because it's obvious that they're okay with tanking this year to possibly get that top three pick. And then once Kobe's gone and probably once Byron Scott is gone, they're going to try to usher in the new era of whatever the Lakers will be.
The funny thing is that before the season started, I think they were trying to aim for the playoffs because they signed legit NBA players like Roy Hibbert, Brandon Bass, Lou Williams. And then suddenly this free fall came, and they can't win anywhere.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, they, you know, I looked at the team, you know, assuming that Kobe was semi-healthy, some of the veterans that they brought in, like you said, Hibbert, Lou Williams, they had these young guys. You got, you know, Clarkston and Randall and D'Angelo, you know, you're like, okay, this could work. Maybe they could squeeze into like an eighth seed if everything goes their way, but they just got off. It's like Kobe's like one team by himself, and then there's like the rest of the Lakers, And, you know, it's like that one member of a group that, you know, can't sing, but is trying to do all the solos. So it's not like working out. And I think at some point, they were like, you know, what's better for us? Is it better to just lose all the games and possibly keep our top three pick or fight and scratch, you know, to be the 10th seed in the West and lose our pick, you know, anyway? And I think at some point they either, you know, subconsciously or they maybe talked about it, was like, let's just let Kobe do his thing. Let it play out. Try to get like the highest ratings because they're going to get ratings and, you know, mm-hmm. attendance because everybody knows this is, you know, his last, you know, year, and then, you know, start over, you know, fresh.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of Byron Scott? Everyone from the basketball world has pretty much criticized him all across the board. What do you think of him?
I think that Byron Scott is a good coach if you have old school players, because he's an old school, you know, type of guy. I don't think he's the type of coach that you bring in to, you know, help develop, you know, young guys', you know, game. I think he has an old school mentality with a new school team, but, you know, besides, you know, Kobe. So I don't think he's the guy. He's not the guy that's into the analytics, that's into like all this new age stuff. He doesn't relate well to some of these younger kids, I think. And I just think it's a bad match for their team. I don't think he's a bad coach, just a bad match for the team. And I think when they, you know, do decide to probably let him go, they're going to bring in a younger guy, like a guy like, say, Brad Stevens, like in with the Boston. They need a guy like that, a young guy, a bright guy that, you know, that these kids can kind of relate to, but also willing to try, you know, stuff that, you know, new stuff that, you know, is kind of what we see working with the Warriors and other teams like that.
Mm-hmm. It's weird to me because it's almost like Byron refuses to evolve while there's guys like Greg Popovich who continue to mm-hmm. coach the Spurs. He's been there for 20 years, and he hates a three-pointer. You mentioned that. But then he goes along with it anyway because that's what it takes to win. And it's weird to me why Byron can't do that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you want to win, you have to adapt. I mean, you look at the Spurs, you know, and I look at their, like, box scores and, like, you know, certain things. And I see Tim Duncan, you know, averaging, you know, 23 minutes and 10 points. And I see them grooming you know, Kawhi to be the next guy because they see the evolution. Like, you're not going to lean on Tim Duncan for 35, 40 minutes. You know, that's not going to work. He can't do it anymore. But you can lean on this new guy, give it to him, you know, slowly. You know, you don't push it all on him like, hey, you just got drafted, you're the man. They don't do that in San Antonio. They did it with Tony Parker too. You know, you kind of build them up so they're used to handling this stuff. And I think that takes a certain mentality, and it doesn't even matter if you have an old school or you're old. It's mm-hmm. just having a mentality of being able to adapt and evolve. And if you don't know, like, all the stuff that's going on, hiring the right assistants, you know, bringing in the right people that, you know, can, you know, handle these type of new age, you know, type of players, the type of systems that are working now in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the Warriors and, I guess, the Sixers, maybe even the Lakers, what has surprised you so far about this NBA season?
What surprised me about the NBA season so far? You know what? I'm a little surprised by the Pistons. You know, I was, you know, with Stan Van Gundy, you know, the way it kind of wasn't working for him last year. And then all of a sudden, you know, Andre Drummond is, you know, kind of becoming like a little mini Shaq and everything. So I'm surprised a little bit about the Pistons. I'm surprised how many solid teams are in the East and mm-hmm. how many teams in the West that, you know, we're used to being, you know, what we would say title contenders playing so badly, be it the Rockets or the, you know, the Clippers. Like, you know, they have all this talent on these teams in the West, but, you know, maybe they've gotten lazy. Maybe they just think that they can win off talent. Whereas in the East, these guys are really, they're really trying to step up their game, and these young teams in the East are coming together. And how are they gonna, you know, when they're trying to go after LeBron, or is one of them gonna be able to clip LeBron in the playoffs? So that's maybe the most surprising thing, is that the East is so balanced, and these teams in the West that you thought were really gonna make a run at the Warriors, at least so far, aren't playing very well.
Last I checked, the East had 9 winning teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah. Like you think of the East as the weaker conference, and then you look, they're definitely playing the best basketball right now. Now, that could change because talent normally rules the day. But, you know, you keep waiting for the Clippers and the Rockets to kind of, you know, and some other teams have, like, this turning point, and it just hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm. I think we all slept on the Pacers, haven't we? Paul George is back, mm-hmm. and suddenly they're second in the East.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about – I always told people about Paul George is that when you have injuries – I always was told, and I'm not a doctor, but, you know, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express once, but I was always told that if you have a leg injury, it's better to have a clean break, than anything like with your Achilles or your ACL or MCL or ligaments and all of that stuff, because bone just, you know, comes back and normally is as strong, as it is. And it looks like with Paul George, it was just more of a confidence issue. And I think the best thing that the Pacers did was they brought him back for a few games last year just so he can get back on the court, you know, kind of get whatever fears he had, you know, out of his head, because he hit the ground, you know, running this year. And once again, they have a very good coach, a very good system in place. And, you know, they're showing that, you know, if you have coach, you need to have just, you know, even if you have your talent is not like over the top, if you have good chemistry, you know, and maybe getting rid of Roy Hibbert helped. You know, you can turn your teams around pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Warriors. By the time this podcast comes out, they may have lost by now. They have Carolina. I mean Charlotte later on today, but they're 19-0. That's ridiculous. Like, what the heck's going on here?
I know exactly what's going on, Ray. I tell you, most teams have like a title hangover. You know, both teams. You know, the loser and the winner. A lot of times get a little mm-hmm. nonchalant. And if it's a team that, like, this is their first time winning, you know, a lot of times, you know, they get the big head. Everybody has book deals, shoe deals, commercials. Everybody is stars now. They can't go in the club no more without the groupies hanging on them and stuff. And I thought, you know, especially right after the finals, the way the Warriors were celebrating, I thought that was going to happen to them. But then the dummies in the NBA made the mistake of start talking too much about how they were lucky. They're just so healthy. If they wasn't healthy, they wouldn't have won. The Clippers are talking about, oh, if we didn't lose our other series, we would have got them. James Harden is running around with Khloe Kardashian saying he's the real MVP. So basically they just pissed them off, you know, like, so if they were like in the clouds and, you know, just kind of like, hey, we're so great, you know, hearing all of this detraction and dismissiveness of their championship obviously put them on a level like, okay, you think this was a fluke? You think we got lucky? We're going to put it on you now. You know, people have challenged their manhood, and mm-hmm. Steph has to glow now. You know, he's like in the what's that karate movie? But he, you know, he has to glow, like show enough and all of that.
Oh, Last Dragon. Yeah.
He's the Last Dragon now. I mean, he's playing with such confidence, and that championship swagger that can work for you, that I don't think they feel like they could be beaten. They're doing it while having a great time. And, you know, so, I mean, it's a long season. Anything can happen, you know, but right now, you know, it's like, man, who in the world could you see beating them 4 times, you know, out of 7? You'd be lucky if you got 2 wins against them at this point.
Well, I guess to be fair, they haven't played the Spurs and the Cavs yet, but I mean, geez, they beat the Cavs in the finals, and, you know, they'll probably beat the Spurs. They're probably the only team that can really handily beat the Spurs at this point, right?
Yeah, I think they actually match up better against the Spurs than, like, you know, some of the other teams out in the West who are doing badly now. But I think, you know, the last team the Spurs won is a team that can, you know, run all day and have infinite, you know, energy. So, you know, I think LeBron is on such a, you know, he's LeBron James, so... Yeah. Give him a full, you know, complement of healthy, you know, players. He can pretty much, you know, do anything. But we have learned that LeBron, you know, because he is 2-4 in the finals, he's only one man. So he can't do it all on his own. A solid team has proven to be able to beat him time and time again. So I think he has that chip on his shoulder. And I think, you know, I don't think the Warriors are going to, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, the Bulls, and they're just going to run through and sweep everybody. But I think they're going to have challenges. But, you know, They beat LeBron last year, and I think they were learning how to be champions. Now they are champions. I think they would even have more confidence going in if it was a rematch.
Don't you think it's weird, though, that the people are disrespecting the Warriors? They won 67 games last year.
Oh, no, I don't think it's weird. I think it's jealousy. I think that's what happens, and saltiness. And they're the type of team that, you know, they have a guy like Steph Curry that everybody loves. And what I always tell people is when there's somebody out there that's like universally loved, that means someone's, you know, going to dislike that because people don't like people happy. They don't like happy people. And then, you know, you have someone like Draymond Green who's not universally loved that's kind of a – you know, someone that gets under your skin, you know, the Bill Laimbeer, you know, the Dennis Rodman of the team. So they have guys on there that I think, you know, other players and other teams, you know, they're not like a beat you down, you know, physical type of team, even though they do play, you know, great defense. But I think teams, it's funny, teams, I bet you they look at them, and I use this analogy on another radio show, like, I don't know if you've ever seen a boxer, Tommy Hearns. Well, if you look at if you look at Tommy Hearns as a boxer, just like in the street, he didn't look like anybody that can knock you out. You know, he's kind of lean and tall and his no muscles or anything. But, man, he had a right hand that would put anybody to sleep. And I think people look at the Warriors and or teams look at the Warriors and like, we should be able, you know, to beat these guys, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of Draymond Green and Stephen Curry, so there was this incident recently. Ben Dalsett from, I believe, Salt City Hoops, right? Mm-hmm. And I've never met the guy, and he seems like from all intents and purposes, like, I heard he's a nice guy. But he said something that apparently was said off record from Stephen Curry and Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Green and Curry took to Twitter and saying, you know, why would you say that? Why are you lying? Stuff like that. So was there a line crossed there?
Well, you know, we got so much stuff going on now with bloggers and online media and old school media, new school media, what should be tweeted, what should be put on Instagram, should we be videotaping and all of that. My thought about this is that if it's media time in the locker room or press conferences or wherever, at that point, everything is on the record, okay? If you don't want something to be, you know, tweeted or Facebooked or whatever, you shouldn't be talking where there's cameras and people in the media around. When they leave, say whatever you got to say. So I think he was well within his right to, you know, tweet or report his opinion on what he heard. Now, on the flip side of that, I think that, you know, it's the player's right to call out anybody in the media because it should be the type of thing whereas if I say something about player X, I should be able to stand up for that, and that player X should be able to come back at me and say whatever he needs to say. The main problem that I had was Draymond Green and Andrew Bogut saying that the guy's media credentials should be revoked because that sounds to me like, well, if you're not saying what we want you to say, we don't want you in our locker room. And I don't think that's fair to anybody, bloggers, traditional media or whatever. It's not their job to just say stuff, you know, great things about you. So if you want to call him a liar, you want to say, you know, that shouldn't have been said, or I wish it wasn't reported, or, you know, whatever, that's fine, you know, if you have evidence to prove or back up what you're saying. But, you know, you have to understand, these guys, and we know this, it's a hard business to be in, and you should not be trying to, you know, mess up that man's livelihood the way he's trying to eat or feed his family and everything just because you didn't like something that he tweeted. I thought that was very weak of Draymond Green, very weak of Andrew Bogut. I know there are sensitive times right now between media, you know, and athletes, but we're all in this together, so we got to figure out a way to work together. And so if you want to critique, have absolutely no problem, you know, with that. But, you know, don't go as far as saying, you know, unless you know that, you know, he's plagiarized something or he just totally 100% made up a story, you shouldn't be, you know, trying to get somebody's credentials revoked.
We'll be right back with more Robert Latall after this break.
This is Adam Jacoby, and if you're looking for a morality play, check out Ray Ray is Fundamental.
How do rumors get started? It's started by the jealous people and they get mad. Something they had and somebody else is holding. They tell me that temptation is very hard to resist. But these wicked women
Do you agree with Ben just tweeting what I've already said out there? Because I always think that, like, if they're just, like, having a casual conversation, that's kind of – I mean, you said it's, everything's on the record, but I feel like there's kind of, like, an unwritten rule that's, that casual conversation like that should be off the record. I mean, that's what I know, you know? So.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, I hear a lot of stuff. And,
yeah, and I've heard a lot of stuff too.
Yeah,
you know
hear
I mean?
A lot of stuff, and – a lot of time, and I get emails, or you get people wanting to put out certain things about certain athletes, or you just from being in the industry, you just hear things about certain athletes that, you know, if you talked about would cause, you know, a storm. So, and you don't, most people, you know, most media don't do that. And I remember the whole thing with, like, Stephen A. Smith and Kevin Durant, when he was kind of threatening him, and I was trying to tell people, he's not threatening him, like, physically. What he's threatening them with is information. And that is kind of a type of thing that you don't do. You don't, you know, threaten someone with personal information or, you know, rumors or innuendos that you heard. I thought this case was a little bit different because what he was tweeting was in direct correlation to the game at hand. You know, it wasn't nothing personal. It wasn't anything like, you know, Draymond said, you know, he slept with Steph's wife or something like that. It was, you know, I was at the, you know, I'm at the game. I'm reporting the game. They seem a little dismissive of the Jazz, and that was surprising of me, what I heard in the locker room during the media time. So fine line, but I thought he was on the line, but not, he didn't cross the line, in my opinion.
Okay. So when did the Warriors lose, you think?
Well, you know, at some point, you know, they're going to have a bad night.
Yeah,
and they're
going
to lose.
You want to make an educated guess, basically. It'll be tonight.
No, not tonight. I don't think, let me take a quick look at their schedule. I'll pull it up here. I'm
going
to give you the actual team they're going to lose to. Okay, let's see here. All right, so we're looking at the name. Well, yes, they may be able to go for a little while. I don't like any of the I think they're good in the next four.
It is a long road trip though, and there are back to backs that could be a schedule out somewhere.
Yeah,
no matter.
Yeah, Maybe the Raptors. I could see them losing to the Raptors on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
If not the Raptors, I think they go a little wild, man. I think they can roll it all the way to Christmas, to be honest with you, to the Cavaliers game.
This could all be null and void by the time this podcast is released.
So let's just say I want to get credit though, if it's the Raptors or the Pacers, those are like the two games on this road trip, that I think that they could definitely get caught up on before they get back home.
Yeah, are those back to, I know the Raptors are back to back.
They have a back to back. They have Toronto on the 5th and then Brooklyn on the 6th. So that's back to back, and then they have the Pacers on the 8th. So they have three games and basically
in four nights. Yeah. That's tough still, regardless.
That's tough.
Yeah, regardless of who they're playing. Yeah, so do you think they could break 72? That's been on the talks. So far,
I think so. I mean, if the West is down, as it's been down so far, you know, the East is getting better, but you know, still the Warriors are much better than pretty much every team, you know, in the East. They're already off to such a, you know, when you start off 19-0, that gives you, you know, it's, you know, so if you get to 20-0, that's 52 games, you know, left. So to get to 70 at 20, I mean, I need to go, you know, is, you know, my math is failing me at the time, but you know, 50, you know, you have to go 50, you know, in 10 or 52 or 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's possible. I think that's definitely possible for them considering they won 67 last year and then get off to the start that they got off to now. So I think it's within reach. You know, anybody can have a bad stretch or an injury that kind of messes everything up. But if they stay relatively healthy, I think 70 is well within reach.
Mm-hmm. I remember Boston was 27-2 in 2008, mm-hmm. and then Garnett got injured later on down the year. So
yeah, so yeah, that's so the only thing. Yeah, you can't predict those injuries. So definitely within reach, you know, saying that your main guys, your Steph, your Draymond, your Clay, you know, don't get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember that the Bulls, when they went 72-10, they were once 41-3.
Yeah.
Really awesome.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, like thinking about it, even thinking about it now, 41-3. Like, how can you only lose three games in your first 44?
That's just and you know, this was and that was in a time where, you know, they had some true rivals, you know, back then. And you look at that season, and what I always remember about that 72-10 season is that I think the Supersonics went, they won like 66 or something like that.
64, I think.
They were like a great, great team. That team with, you know, Sean Payton, not Sean Payton, Gary.
Sean Kemp. Yeah.
Sean Kemp. But, you know, they just kind of ran up against this juggernaut, you know. But I always thought like that was maybe the best team that didn't win an NBA championship.
Yeah. I would have to go with, the Portland team from 2000 when they took it to 7 against the Lakers. I thought that was the best team that never won a title. They were so loaded. It was ridiculous.
Had them dead to rights, but couldn't finish the job.
Yeah, look it up on Basketball Reference. Their roster is ridiculous. Led by Rasheed Wallace, by the way. So on to football just a little bit. So the Carolina Panthers are undefeated, but why are people so mad at Cam Newton? Like, what is the deal? Like, he's just having fun out there, as people would say about Brett Favre, and they're getting mad at him.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's twofold. The first thing that you said is he's having fun. People hate that. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants you to, you can't have fun. No, you know, you gotta be miserable like a lot of the people that are watching you, you know. So I think his fun is so unabashed. You know, it's so, you know, he has a confidence and a swagger that it makes people uncomfortable. And he's black, and just to cut through all the BS. When you're black and you're bold and you're smiling and you're a big guy and you're winning and you just got all this charisma and stuff, it freaks people out. It always has. I mean, from Muhammad Ali, and we can just go on and on, from Allen Iverson or whatever. It just, you know, even LeBron a little bit. Kobe, it freaks people out. When you're a black guy and you're kind of oozing with all of this confidence, it feels like they want to kind of, you know, I don't know if it's societal, you know, I know we have issues in our society, but it's like they want to knock him down a peg. But, you know, if you're white and you're Tom Brady or you're Peyton Manning or you're Phillip Rivers are doing all of that, you know, that's normal, you know. So there's definitely a, if not a racial component, a stereotypical and prejudicial component to it, mm-hmm. that, you know, that people, you know, they're scared to talk about, but I mean, that's what it is. I mean, there's no real good reason why someone that's, you know, never had a off the, you know, field issue, you know, as far as crimes or anything like that, never, you know, it feeds the kids, goes to the hospitals, does everything that, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, does, that there would be so much hate, you know, for, mm-hmm. just besides the fact that, you know, he makes people, you know, uncomfortable.
It's weird to me because, first of all, I'm not white, obviously. I mean, I'm a minority myself. I'm Filipino. So to me, to see Cam Newton dance or to see some other white tight end dance, that to me is the same. They're both mm-hmm. dancing. They're having fun. So it's just so strange to me sometimes why people will get mad at one person and then on the other they won't because white.
Right, and it's one of my biggest, you know, most stuff, I'm pretty happy-go-lucky guy. A lot of stuff just kind of rolls off my back. Things doesn't bother me a lot, but that is the one thing that bothers me about media and that bothers me about fans is they can never answer that question. Like, okay, you know, he's yelling at his quarterback or he's dancing or he's doing X, Y, and Z, and you're upset about him or mad about him and writing letters or whatever. And then, you know, player B is doing the same thing over here and it just, you know, nobody says anything. And then, like, I understand there's different levels of player, different levels of attention, but the hypocrisy just kind of eats at me. Like, you shouldn't be like that. You know, if it's one thing, people say a lot of things about me, but if it's one thing no one can say is that I'm pretty consistent. You know, if I didn't like you 5 years ago, I'm not changing now. And, you know, vice versa. Like, you know,
yeah,
I could, you know, certain things I stick with, and that's just kind of what it is. And it's like people know that that's what's happening, but because of social media, it's like everybody got to have a take, you know, on everything. We got to talk about it for like a week or 2 weeks or 2 months when it's really, you know, not that big of a deal. And hopefully this whole Cam thing will, you know, blow over at some point.
Mm-hmm. Is he the MVP of the league?
I think he's right there with Brady. I've been going back and forth with them. Like, I still have Brady a little higher, to be honest with you, because, you know, the Pats, you know, they did lose last week, but, you know, all of his people are, you know, getting injured. You know, all of his, we don't have any wide receivers. He's 38 years old, I think. He's coming off of Deflategate where they had him in court every other, you know, week. And you see what's happening, like, with Peyton Manning and some of these other older Drew Brees, some of these other older quarterbacks. They're falling off the map. And Brady looks better, you know, than ever. And he's as old as they are. So, I mean, I wouldn't have any qualms with anybody voting for Cam Newton right now. His team is undefeated. He doesn't have the greatest core. If I had to vote right now, it would be Brady first and then Cam Newton.
So, I'm having a bit of a harder time watching football these days. Are you? Are you right now? Because of what we've learned so far in the past couple of years and all the wrongful punishments and Roger Goodell and all that stuff?
You know, it's the game itself is still enjoyable to me. You know, like when I have the Red Zone channel, so
yeah,
I watch, you know, the on Sundays, seven, you know, whatever, the 8 uninterrupted hours of football, and it's like the best time of my week when that's going on. All the other stuff is annoying, you know, the stuff about concussions and who's getting suspended and who's not. The officiating is all jacked up. That stuff, all of that white noise, it infiltrates your head. But when the games are going on, I still find myself as like I did when I was a little kid watching football, still, you know, amazed at, you know, these guys, you know, playing the game. And you know, I could push that stuff aside for, you know, a few hours. But then it comes right back as soon as the game is, you know.
Yeah.
So it just makes you wonder how long are they going to be able to ride this wave? Because as long as ratings are good and the money's up, you know, they're going to do PR stuff, but are they really going to make any, you know, changes? And I don't think so, but we've seen this before, you know, we're probably a little younger for it, but you know, baseball used to be the sport, boxing used to be the sport, and you know, we've seen other sports come in, and next thing you know, there's a downfall. Like, is NFL going to have that downfall in our lifetime? And I think it would be naive to say that it's, you know, it's not possible.
So if it does happen, when do you think football will drop off if it keeps it up basically? Because I asked you about boxing and you're right, I agree with you on boxing. While it doesn't seem to be popular amongst a lot of people are still buying pay-per-views up the wazoo, right?
Right.
Yeah. So what about football? How long can this last if they keep it up like this?
You know, at least in the foreseeable future, I don't think there's going to be any issues, because every time I read a ratings report or a revenue report, everything's going up. It's the highest rated this, it's the most money that, all of that, you know, good stuff. So, I mean, I don't see, you know, any changes right now. Like with most things in life, it has to be something cataclysmic that happens to start the downfall. Like with baseball, I think a lot of people think it was like the strike, eliminated the World Series, and they just had a hard time, you know, coming back from that, and maybe they've never, you know, come back from that. NBA, you know, had their down period. They get, you know, Magic and Larry, and they get Michael, and they're so lucky because then they get LeBron and Kobe, Shaq, and they're still riding, you know, that wave. Like, so what happens if something just kooky happens? You know, big things have happened, you know, the domestic abuse, the concussions, you know, stuff like that. You know, God forbid, I'm not trying to wish this on anybody, but, you know, if somebody dies on the field or something like that, you know, is that going to be where people say, you know something, we're not going to let our kids play high school ball? And there's been a lot of deaths in high school football. And what happens is the quality of the product will get bad if they don't have the players, you know, to play. And if people start saying, you know, it's too dangerous to let my kid, that next generation of kids, play football, how does that affect the next generation of, you know, the NFL? Because it's a feeding system from high school to college, you know, to pro. Well, if you don't have enough on the high school level, the colleges will suffer, and then in turn, you know, the NFL will suffer. So I think we're a whole maybe a generation before we see anything that could even possibly be what could be considered a downfall. But like I said, it'd be naive to think that it couldn't, you know, happen.
Mm-hmm. It all comes down to the money, and they're making so much of it right now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Before I let you go, Robert, I know you have your thoughts on wrestling, so let's hear it.
I'm so frustrated with WWE right now. It seemed like they were turning it around. You know, they were bringing in the girls to wrestle. They were bringing up these guys from NXT, which is, you know, vastly much better than what's going on now. And I like Seth Rollins. You know, I have my thing with, you know, Super Cena. You know, things seem to be going in a positive direction, and then, you know, a bunch of people get hurt, Cena takes off, and now, like, besides the New Day, which gives me joy every single day, the New Day, it's like they're falling into the same things that have always kind of plagued them before, you know, regurgitating the same storylines, not giving the guys that deserve the push, you know, the push. And we're coming up to WrestleMania season, and I'm a little worried about, you know, what the direction of the product. And I love the WWE Network because they have so much material on there. You can be on there, like, all day watching stuff. I like certain, you know, I like NXT. I like some of the younger guys. I love Sasha Banks and all of these people. It's just tying it all together. I think they would really benefit from making Raw 2 hours. I think it would be tighter. It would be more wrestling. And they wouldn't be so having to just push all the garbage, out on it. So I'm still there. I'm still a wrestling guy. I'm still watching every week. I'm still monitoring. I'm still rooting, and stuff like that. I'm just hoping, just kind of like last year where they pulled it all together for WrestleMania, that as we get closer, they pull it all together. These guys get healthy and come back, and they really showcase all this talent that they have.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with me, Robert, that Sasha Banks is the next big star? Like, crossover appeal, mainstream appeal, everything. Because I feel like she's got it.
That's the thing. Like, you know when someone has it. I mean, it's she just has an aura, you know, and certain people just have an aura, and she has it, you know, and you know, Cesaro, you know, they just have, like, certain things that you like, okay, if put in the proper situations, they can, you know, cross over. You know, you knew Cena had it. You knew The Rock had it. Once Stone Cold figured out, you knew he had it. You know, sometimes it develops, like, you know, with a Daniel Bryan. You know, you didn't quite know he had it, and then next thing you know, he had a whole bunch of it. So Sasha, you know, I think they're holding her back. I think they want to make her so big that they don't want to overexpose her right now. I'm praying that's what they're doing. And they're going to make it big for WrestleMania, and they're going to let her run the ball with that. But, you know, the last couple of women that I thought had it, like Sasha, but I always thought, you know, Amber Lee had it. AJ Lee had it. And so that's why I never forgive CM Punk. But the last woman that I feel like had what Sasha has, like that total package, was Trish Stratus. Like the look, the mannerisms, the wrestling ability, the personality, like you just knew, like you couldn't take your eyes off her when she, you know, was around. And I think Sasha has that, and she knows that she has it, and she's kind of down to earth and kind of quirky, but she has this sex appeal, but she can also throw down in the ring, and like it's all there. So I'm hoping, you know, for her that when WrestleMania comes around, you know, whoever the match that she's going to be in, they give her 20, 30 minutes to do her thing at Cowboy Stadium, and she takes the belt, and they can use her as a, you know, a face of the WWE, because they need new faces, and, you know, she definitely can be one.
Yeah, I feel like if she wants to, she can go Hollywood. I mean, I think she just has that star appeal right now, at least to me, you know? So.
No, absolutely. I agree. Like, there's always guys who say, okay, or girls, like, you know, they're either they're going to just be wrestlers all their life, or they could be something else. Like, you know, kind of even like, you know, in other sports, like, you know, Ronda Rousey, you could always see could be something else besides UFC. And I think with Sasha and, you know, some of the other people that they have on there, they have crossover appeal, and that's what they need for ratings. They need people that wouldn't normally watch wrestling to say, hey, I gotta tune in to Raw because I can't miss my girl, Sasha. And I think, you know, that's something that's gonna be happening, soon. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. I'm praying, you know, for her.
Yeah. Shouldn't they make WWE look more like an athletic competition? Because they already have an ESPN segment dedicated to WWE. You know what I mean? So, why not make it look more like a sport and, you know, make it more like a competition? Because they are fighting for something, even if it's predetermined, but at least make it look like it's worth fighting for something.
I agree. I think if you notice, the best, at least in my mind, the best shows that they have is where the wrestling is spotlighted much more than the talking. Because a lot of their guys simply aren't, you know, that great of talkers. You know, I don't want to hear Sheamus. a half hour. Like, you got your guys that can talk. You know, let the New Day do all of their segments. You know, let, you know, Ambrose do like his weird stuff because they're good, you know, talkers. Let Triple H come out and talk to Stephanie because they're good talkers. But the people that, you know, aren't good talkers, just let them rest. Like, I don't need to hear Dolph Ziggler. Like, just let Dolph, you know, people like Dolph Ziggler, just let him do what he do. You know, when Cesaro comes back, I don't need a Cesaro or Roman Reigns to, you know, to win me over by their speaking abilities. Get in the ring, kick some ass, and show, you know, why you're athletically superior to like 99% of the people in the world. And when they allow these guys to do that, shockingly, they get over and get, you know, more mainstream attention.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah, I think their roster is so deep, but the people don't see it because they're not getting pushed as such. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Like, I love Neville. Like, you know, but, you know, Vince in his mind is Neville's too small. He got to wear a cape and all this stupid stuff. Anytime you put Neville in the ring, doesn't matter who he's in the ring with, the crowd is always into it. It's always a hot match. Because they care about wrestling. Wrestling fans, believe it or not, care about, you know, wrestling. And if a guy can wrestle and he can go, put him on the show. You know, it doesn't have to be, we don't need to hear him talk. We don't need any type of weird angle with him having, like, girlfriends or all of this stuff. Hey, man, look, we got Neville, and we're going to put him in the ring with, you know, Dolph. Not any, we don't even need a backstory. They're just going to wrestle because it's a wrestling show. And you want to see good matches. And they're going to give a good match, and they're going to shake hands after it and go to the back. And people, you know, people, I think, will respect the product and come back to the product more if stuff like that happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So that went longer than I thought. But
I'm long with it. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good, though. I love talking wrestling with anybody. So I think that's about it. Rob, just go ahead and plug your stuff, and we'll go from there.
Well, absolutely. Well, I'll give you some exclusives. You know, because you the man, I'll give you some exclusives, is that very, very soon you're going to be seeing a brand new blacksportsonline.com, brand new site design, all redesigned, user-friendly, mobile-friendly. It'll be coming soon. You're also going to be seeing a debut podcast from me, yours truly, Robert LaTau. I won't spoil the name or anything, but it'll be coming out. We're going to have guests and segments and talk about wrestling and all type of great stuff. We're going to have to get Ray, you know, on. You can, you know, definitely, you know, check out the Twitter page for the updates at BSO. Facebook and Instagram is Black Sports Online. And if you ever want to hear my Snapchat rants, it's Robert LaTau. And I'm also bringing back my personal Twitter account at Robert LaTau so I can, like, talk and rant on and on and on about why the New Day is the greatest thing of all time, but don't interrupt your BSO link. So those are some exclusive details about what's going to be going on with Black Sports Online in the very, very, very near future.
Robert, it's always good talking to you, and it feels like it's a new day when I talk sports with you.
Yes,
thanks a lot so much.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Ray. Game over, yeah!
Molded. Actually, that doesn't make sense.